thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great start to your week. The week actually starts on Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week, and we had a great day at First Baptist Texarkana. And today is the start of the work week for most of us, and I hope it is starting off well for you. This is an exciting day for the Shreve family, as my daughter Amy is in the hospital right now getting ready to give birth to our third grandson. His name's going to be Drew Archer. And Drew Archer Van Hoy, hopefully, is coming into this world today. Amy had an appointment last week, and her blood pressure was a little high, and she's about 37 weeks or so pregnant. And the doctor said, well, let's just go ahead and take the baby. So they're taking the baby today, inducing labor. And so as you may think about it, pray for Amy. And pray for little baby Drew as he comes into this world. And it's also Chase Maverick, my grandson. It's his birthday today. So Amy and Travis are getting ready to have their third baby boy. And baby boy number two, it turned two today. And so it looks like baby two and baby three are going to have the same birthday, which is pretty exciting. That doesn't happen very often, unless you're a Wildman. Tim Wildman and his two siblings, all three of them have the same birth date, which is pretty amazing. Obviously not the same year, but the same day of the month. And that doesn't happen rarely. So exciting times for us. Well, hey, I wanted to talk to you today about this subject, when you don't agree. You know, we live in a world that is divided. And one of the things that we prayed about yesterday in church was that the Lord would help heal the divide that's in America. We call ourselves the United States of America, but we're more like the divided states of America, and divided politically, divided spiritually, divided economically. We're just divided on a lot of different stages. And the thing that is really tough, and we, you know, just get bombarded on the news regarding this, is the political landscape and the divide politically. You know, it used to be some years ago that you would fight for your candidate. You wanted so-and-so to become president. And if he won, great. If he lost, then we all got on the bandwagon to support the whoever was coming in. Now, I think that that was easier to do some time ago because most candidates were considered moral and honest and truthful, and they might have a different plan or program to move the country forward. And so you would look at, well, what are your policies? What are you planning to do? And then you'd look at the other candidate, what are you planning to do? But all that has changed because the morality factor is critical in elections. And, you know, obviously we've always had two flawed candidates that have been vying for the presidency, or more than two. But the basic adherence to truth and adherence to right and wrong were there. And so we wouldn't look at a candidate and say, well, yeah, but you believe in murdering babies in the womb. I mean, that is a serious sin, and you're for it. That wasn't an issue back, 60, 70 years ago. And so now we have those issues that are greatly dividing. And abortion is one of those issues that is greatly dividing in our country. Homosexuality, the LGBTQIA plus agenda, transgenderism is a very divisive issue. And even a liberal like Bill Maher, he was talking about that the other day, and he said, Democrats are putting themselves in a position to not get reelected if they keep pushing this trans agenda. And he made some statements that I thought were just totally wrong. But he understands that you can't keep pushing this male and female sports, direction and get America to go with it. You're on the very strongly minority side of that issue if that is where you're coming from. This is what he had to say on his program regarding the trans situation.
Yeah.
So let me go to one more semi-related thing about the hill to die on. Here's my last one.
Okay.
Trans. Because Trump has gone way too far on this. He's at that place. This is what I always say. Nobody can ever be in the middle.
No.
It always has to go from one pendulum swing to all the way to the other. So now we're back at there's only two sexes, which is ridiculous, although I'm glad I'm in one of the ones we're keeping. Since it's a valid. But is that a hill worth dying on?
No, you can't. I mean, you can't. It's and again, like, you can be for everyone having rights. You could be for people not getting bullied. You can approach these things in a compassionate way. But if you recognize that that's such a very small 0.1% of the population, and that's dominating the conversation, and you're not talking about economics and lunch bucket issues and pensions and wages and unions and all that good stuff, then you are defending 0.1% of one part of the population. You Trump gets in, Republicans.
So that was his guest in saying, yeah, you can't die on that hill because then you will die. And Bill Maher goes on to say, well, if that's going to be your platform, you're never going to win an election, because that is a very small segment of the population. And, people don't agree with that by and large. Now, as far as he called it ridiculous to say there are only two genders. Well, it's ridiculous to say there are more than two genders. God made us male and female. They're not more than two genders. They're not more than two sexes. I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but I mean, that's just basic understanding of humanity and how God created things and common sense and biology and physiology and 6,000 years of history. I mean, obviously those things are just so apparent. They're so obvious. So we used to have that expression, it's as plain as the nose on your face. And so for Bill Maher to say it's ridiculous to say there are only two genders, that's ridiculous to say that's ridiculous. And then his guest said, well, you can't say that there are only two genders. Yes, you can, because you want to operate in reality. But obviously, he was talking about when you don't agree and what is the hill on which you're willing to die. Now, I think that Christians should pick that hill to say, yeah, we're willing to die on that hill because we care about people. And we don't want to see, especially children, destroy themselves before they ever get out of the starting gate. I saw a picture of a lady with a baby that was about a year and 2 months old. And she was talking about how her baby is trans and that she's just so much happier now that she's transitioned over and not trying to be a boy, but going to be a girl. And that's child abuse. A one-year-old or a 14-month-old has made a decision that she's in the wrong body. He's in the wrong body. I can't remember which way it was going, girl or boy. But that's just so ridiculous. And that woman needs to be, she needs to be investigated. She needs to be counseled. And she needs to lose her kids if that's what she's doing with them. She's destroying their lives. Kids, and I think Bill Maher even makes this point, that kids shouldn't be able to make a decision like that. He jokingly has said, you know, hey, when I was 6 or 7 years old, I wanted to be a pirate. He said, I'm sure glad my parents didn't take me to the doctor and tell him to cut off my leg and rip out my eye so I could have a peg leg and an eye patch to really, you know, fit the bill of being a pirate. Obviously, we don't do that. And so this idea of the left taking that platform and saying this is the hill on which we are to die, that's going to be devastating for them, and Maher understands that. But as for us as Christians, that's one of the things, because we do love people, because we do care, we stand up and we say no to those things. You can't chemically castrate a 14, 15, 16-year-old. You can't perform surgery and mutilate this kid. We don't want that. Obviously, abortion. No, we say no to that, and we fight for the rights of the unborn to live. And we stand in the gap, and we say this is wrong. So Christians are to stand up for what is right and to witness to this world that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. And so that's our job. You hear me say that a lot. That's are really, when you boil it down, what is our reason for being on this earth? You say, well, the greatest commandment, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, number one commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I can do that in heaven, just like I can, or even better in heaven than I can on earth. To love my neighbor as myself. Well, in heaven, I love my brothers and sisters in the Lord, obviously, but on earth, I can love horizontally, love my neighbor as myself, and do something on earth that I can't do in heaven, and that is witness to lost people. And that's our reason for being. When they asked Jesus in Acts chapter 1, Lord, is it at this time that you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? Because they had been taught their whole lives that when Messiah comes, he sets up his kingdom. And Jesus said, it's not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. That's what we're here for, to witness to a lost and dying world that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. In Luke chapter 24, when the apostles encountered the risen Christ, they were blown away. They couldn't believe it for joy, it said, and they were marveling. It says that Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And then he goes on to say, and behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. He was talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Hey, you are witnesses of these things. And we're to proclaim to people that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And that's what they did. And that's what we're supposed to do. If you're going to say repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, you're calling people out on the issue of sin. You're letting them know that they're sinners in need of a savior. They can't save themselves. They're not good people. There is none righteous, not even one. And so when you do that, just know that there are going to be disagreements. And that's what we're focusing on today. When you don't agree. There are going to be disagreements in our world because we as born-again believers, we're twice-born people living in a world of once-born people. And we're calling them to the Savior. We're calling them to turn their backs on their sins, to acknowledge their sin and cry out with blind Bartimaeus, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," and to follow the Lord and to give their heart and life to Jesus. And it's hard for people to do that because of pride. And especially as they get older and they get entrenched in their beliefs, it's hard for them to say, "I was wrong. God, have mercy on me." Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about when you don't agree and how we as Christians are to kindly deal with those people we don't agree with and that don't agree with us. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about when you don't agree, and there are issues in life, politics especially, when people don't agree, and obviously things related to spiritual things. People don't agree. Now, I remember my dad, who served in the United States Merchant Marine way back when, he said he was a radio operator there, and he said that on the ship, they told all the passengers, all the guys that worked there, they said, "Listen, when you go into the mess hall, there are two things you can't talk about, two things that are off limits that are taboo." He said, "Politics and religion." Politics and religion. Why is that? Why can you not talk about politics and religion? Because those two subjects, more than anything else, can cause people to argue, and to argue vehemently, and to argue to such an extent that they can come to blows. They can start fist fighting because they don't agree on politics or religion. It's pretty sad when you think about it. You don't believe like I do religiously, so I'm talking to you about the love of Jesus, and you don't believe it, so I'm going to punch you in the mouth. That would be horrible. But obviously, when you talk about religious things, what is Islam? Islam does that all the time. They don't punch you in the mouth. They kill you. They cut your head off. We had the 70 Christians that were killed, beheaded by the Muslims just in the last few days. And, you know, I saw where Eric Metaxas, and I reposted this, every Muslim ought to condemn what took place. But you're not going to hear Muslims condemn that because the Quran and Muhammad, they support that. You know, Islam is smash mouth religion. Now, obviously, not every Muslim believes you ought to, if people don't adhere to Islam, that you should kill them. But those would be outliers, because if you follow the Quran, if you follow the teaching of Muhammad, if you follow the pattern that Muhammad laid out, you would say, yes, that's what you do, because Islam is smash mouth religion, believe or die. The things that happened in the Crusades, those were religious wars. And so, you know, God hasn't called his New Testament saints to do that. Now, we witness and we stand up for the truth, and we're willing to die for our faith, as the all the apostles, minus John, died for their faith. They were killed because they wouldn't back up. They wouldn't shut up. They kept saying that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. But let's take it down to where we live. Okay, so we're not living in a Muslim country that we could potentially be killed for our faith. We have brothers and sisters in Christ that are in those situations in Muslim countries, and they are in danger. We do need to pray for them. But in our situation in America, we're probably not going to be killed for our faith, but we can lose friends as a result of our faith. And as a result of social media, you make social media posts that are very strong. I do that often. And as somebody called me out, "How dare you do this?" And I said, "Listen, I'm not talking about any individual. I'm talking about ideologies, not individuals." And so most of my posts are, if the shoe fits, wear it. I'm not directing this at you. I'm not putting it on somebody's page. It's on my own page. If you don't like it, just move on, you know. And but some people, they can't move on. They have to respond, and they're very upset. Well, Proverbs 29, verse 9 says this: when a wise man has a controversy with a foolish man, the foolish man either rages or laughs, and there is no rest. That's Proverbs 29, verse 9. We need to keep that in mind, because if we're having a controversy and it's like, hey, you know, I'd had one friend and I said, you know, you and I see the world totally differently, and you're not going to change my mind, and I'm not going to change your mind, so we just need to agree to disagree and still stay friends. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14, the beginning of strife is like letting out water, so abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. Now, I think when it comes to not so much politics, but when it comes to the subject of quote-unquote religion, and I don't really like to use that word, because we are not, believers in Jesus are not religious. We put our faith and trust in Jesus. Religion is kind of trying to clean yourself up to make yourself respectable and presentable to God. As Jesus told the Pharisees, you're whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside. That's religion. But in the inside, you're dead. And you're full of rottenness. And so Christianity is not religion. Christianity is a work that God does in the human heart. It's an inside job. We receive Christ as Savior and Lord. He comes into our lives and he changes us from the inside out. But when we are talking about things related to how a person gets right with God, our job is to be a faithful watchman on the wall. Our job is to warn people of the wrath that is to come. If people reject that, that's their business. And so what do? We say, okay, well, I don't understand why you would want to reject that. I don't understand why you would just hunker down in your lies, but that's your business. You have a right to believe anything you want to believe. But as I told one friend, you know, both of us can't be right. And your pride is not letting you see these things clearly. And truth, as I told this one guy, I said, you know, he said, well, I just don't believe like you do. And I said, well, give me a chapter and verse that supports what you believe. Because what I believe is rooted in the scripture. What you believe is rooted in what you want it to be. Truth is not what you think, it's not what you feel, it's not what you want it to be. It is what God says. And so, you know, you and I can check ourselves. Do we believe what we believe just because we were taught that, just because of tradition, just because that sounds good to us? Or is it really rooted in thus says the Lord? And that is very, very important. And so we have to be willing to say, hey, maybe I'm not right. And, you know, maybe I have believed something just because I was taught that. Maybe I was taught it in church, or maybe I was taught it in school, or maybe I was taught it by my parents. But I have to dig deeper and say, but is this really true? Farrell and Farrell used to have a song that said, you gotta find it in the Word. And if you don't find it in the Word, guess what? Maybe it's not true. I took a class from a professor when I was in seminary, Dr. Calvin Miller. Dr. Calvin Miller was well known, and he was a great guy. I loved taking a class from him. Well, he had this paragraph that he wrote that I have used on numerous occasions, talking about how people want God to be what they want him to be. And he calls this God the great mush God with a little G. He said these words: we've all gotten to like this soft new God, little G, this God that welcomes everybody, this God who comes in bubble wrap and has no sharp edges to sort of needle. I got to get it on my phone. I have it on my phone. It's kind of small. No sharp edges to sort of needle or offend anybody. The God we can all take together. He just tastes great, less filling. He's that kind of God. He has no heritage. And of course, we will never learn to pray in the name of Jesus if we serve this God. This is the great mush God. He has been known to appear to millionaires on the golf course, politicians at ribbon-cutting ceremonies, and clergymen speaking the invocation on national television. The great mush God has no theology. He has cream of wheat divinity. He has no particular credo. Because this God is not a jealous God, you can invoke this God to start any venture. He is the God of the Rotary, a God of the optimist. He's the protector of the buddy system. The mush God is a serviceable God whose laws are not chiseled on stone, but are written in sand, amenable to amendment, qualification, or erasure. This God will make any agreement you wish and declare all alliances holy. I know of no other way to stand against such a little soft G God, but to get in touch with the God spelled with a big G. I like that. Yeah, we like the mush God that just does our will. Well, that is not God. God, you know, God is God. As we've said before on this program on numerous occasions, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. As Solomon said, when all has concluded, fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For the Lord will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. And so our job as Christians is to be a watchman on the wall, to let people know that judgment is coming. As John the Baptist preached, as Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If people look at us like we're nuts, so be it. If they get mad at us for calling out sin, so be it. We're not trying to be mean. We're just trying to be truthful. And we live in an upside-down world, especially as it relates to homosexuality and transgenderism and their whole agenda. They're trying to tell us that 2 plus 2 equals 5. I remember hearing Ben Carson years ago at a National Religious Broadcasters Convention, which starts tomorrow, or starts tonight, actually. I'm leaving for Dallas early afternoon to be there for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. But Ben Carson said this. He said, you know, it used to be that everybody believed 2 plus 2 equals 4 in a moral sense. 2 plus 2 equals 4. Like I was saying, when people ran for president, the morality was still there. The right and wrong, the understanding of right and wrong was still there. And that way we could get behind a president, even if we didn't like his policies and we didn't vote for those policies, we still knew that this guy has America's best interests at heart. He understands right and wrong. He understands law and the need for law and order, those kinds of things. Well, in our world, we all said 2 plus 2 equals 4. Sex before marriage is wrong. Adultery is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. Transgenderism, we didn't know what that was back 50, 60 years ago, but that would be wrong. God made us male and female. But then as the Lord, we've rejected the Lord and the Lord's given us over to a reprobate mind, a mind that no longer functions correctly. Now we see these things and we say 2 plus 2 equals 5. And so it's like, well, no, 2 plus 2 equals 4. No, 2 plus 2 equals 5. You say 2 plus 2 equals 5. Well, no, we're not going to say that. If you want to say 2 plus 2 equals 5, that's your business, but I'm not going to say 2 plus 2 equals 5. No, you're going to say 2 plus 2 equals 5, and if you don't say that, we're going to come after you, we're going to cancel you, we're going to destroy your life. That's the world that we have been living in. Now, Donald Trump, in the election of Donald Trump, obviously has changed things because he very first day, he said, hey, there are two genders, and we're not going to play this game of, we just got to go along with it. He said, we're not going along with it, and we're cutting federal funding. If you're going to allow biological males to play in female sports, you're not going to get any money from the federal government. He said that to the governor of Maine. Well, I'll see you in court, she said. Well, he said, okay, well, we'll see you in court. We're going back to sanity. We're going back to the program that is consistent with scripture, that's consistent with science, that's consistent with history, that's consistent with common sense, that 2 plus 2 equals 4 not only true in math, it's true in morality. And that's how society has functioned for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Hey, what do you do when you don't agree? We share the truth with people. We don't cram it down their throat. We don't beat them over the head with it. We share the truth. If they don't want to hear it, then we say, okay, that's fine. As I was going back and forth with one person on social media, she said, well, I just don't see it that way, that God is a God of judgment. It's like, okay, well, you're free to think anything you want. You can believe anything you want, but just because you believe it, that's not the test of truth. The test of truth, do I believe it? No. The test of truth is that what does the Bible say? What does the Lord say? He's the judge of all the earth. Shall not the judge of all the earth, Genesis 18, shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly? And the answer is yes, he will deal justly. And he doesn't want to judge, he wants to save. But if you continue in sin, if you blow off the warnings, if you disregard the watchman on the wall, and God forbid you would try to cancel or curtail or even kill the watchman on the wall who's trying to help you, you're slitting your own throat. And so when it comes to children doing that, and parents influencing their children and teachers influencing their children to destroy their lives before they ever get out of the starting gate, so to speak, well, yeah, we do need to stand up. We do need to open our mouths for those who can't speak for themselves. And so you think about the unborn, you think about children that have parents that are trying to destroy their lives and fill their minds with all sorts of lies, teachers that are trying to do that. Yeah, we do need to stand in the gap for them, because that is wrong with a capital W-R-O-N-G. Well, the subject is, what do you do when you don't agree? When you're talking to somebody and the conversation is getting heated, we're not to continue on in that. We're to back off and just say, okay, well, my job is just to share the truth with you. You can do whatever you want with it. That's up to you. But as it says in the book of Ezekiel, if you don't warn them, then their blood is on your hands. But if you do warn them, then you're free from that, because you've done what God has asked you to do. And just because you're filled with the Spirit, and just because you give the Word of God, that person still has to receive that. And if they don't, then that's on them. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls. 888-589-8840. Give me a call and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about when you don't agree, and all Christians have had this experience, and all people have had this experience, when you don't agree on something that can cause people to get angry. And people tend to get angry about two big subjects, religion and politics. And people get angry when a pastor starts talking about things that they think are, oh, that's political. Well, abortion is not political, it's moral. Transgender insanity is not political, it's moral. Now, it may be political too, but it's a moral issue. And so many things, you know, spending money needlessly, theft is a, and corruption and waste, those are biblical issues. God tells us how to do things, how a government is to operate. God tells us that in His Word. And so there is so much overlap in the political, religious, spiritual world that, you know, pastors that don't speak out on these issues that everybody's talking about, I think they're derelict in their duties as a shepherd. Now, remember this, you can have good and godly people, two people who walk with the Lord that don't see things the same necessarily on every single point. Case in point is Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement, his name was Joseph, but they changed his name to Barnabas. Well, he went with Paul on the first missionary journey. And in Acts 15, and it says, "And some days after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.' 'Let's go on a second missionary journey,' he said. And Barnabas was desirous of taking John called Mark along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord." And so there was a split because they couldn't come to an agreement. And there was a sharp disagreement, the scripture says, to the point where it's like, hey, we're not going to be able to solve this. You are dead set against John Mark going with us, Barnabas said to Paul, and Paul would say to Barnabas, and you are so entrenched in taking John Mark that this is not going to work. And so good and godly people can disagree, but when it comes to a person who walks with the Lord and has a biblical worldview, you're not going to have agreement with someone who has a non-biblical worldview, who sees life from the world's perspective, not God's perspective. And, you know, those things normally show up in political things, and especially political / moral things, because then those issues become biblical at that point, and we say, hey, you know, how we do certain things with school lunch programs or whatever. I mean, that might be a bad example, but there are certain things that's like, okay, good and godly people could do it different ways. There's more than one way to skin a cat. But when it comes to what's going on in our nation right now with DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, we shouldn't really have a strong disagreement about the function of DOGE. You can disagree about the speed of DOGE. Somebody has said, you know, it's like performing surgery with a meat cleaver, and they don't like it because it's coming too fast. But as Elon Musk has said, and Elon, not a believer, but a smart guy and understands basic, you know, basic economics, this is what he had to say about his work at DOGE.
I really want to emphasize to people that this is a very important point. If we don't solve the deficit, there won't be money for medical care. There won't be money right. for Social Security. We either solve the deficit, or all we'll be doing is paying debt.
Nobody's
so it's got to be solved, or there's no medical care, there's no Social Security, there's no nothing. It's got to be solved. It's not optional. America will go bankrupt if this is not done. That's why I'm here.
The president's
Europe takes advantage
and of us. And I'd like to also just send a message, to, like, because as the president said, like, there's a lot of rich people out there. They should be caring more about the country, because the reason they should be caring about more about the country is if America falls, what do you think is going to happen to your business? What do you think? Do you think you'll be going to be okay if the ship of America sinks? Of course not. Like, what I'm doing here, what the president's doing, is it's just long-term thinking. The ship of America must be strong. The ship of America cannot sink. If it sinks, we all sink with it.
That should be pretty basic. I've said that for years. Hey, we all live in the same country. If the country goes under, I don't care how much money you may have. That's going under too. I still remember the scene from Schindler's List where Oscar Schindler had all this money that was worth nothing once Germany fell. And he said, I wasted so much money, and now this money, I think, if I remember correctly, he had like a suitcase full of money. He said, now this is worthless because nobody's going to take it because the government of Germany fell, and the Nazi regime was over, which was a good thing. But for those who were tied to it and tied to it economically, that wasn't a good thing for them because all their money was worthless. So, basic things that we should all be able to agree on, and eliminating waste, eliminating mismanagement, eliminating fraud, prosecuting those who steal. We all ought to agree with that. I mean, hopefully everybody does agree with the eighth commandment, you shall not steal. And those that steal money from the government, that is stealing. You commit fraud on an insurance claim, that is stealing. Just because you're stealing from an entity rather than an individual, it's still stealing, and we need to be honest in our dealings with people. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Lynn on the line from Arkansas. Lynn, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Yeah, I was going to say the first thing you could tell them is we have different information. According to what you listen to, you may have things deleted or you may learn things. And one of the programs I listened to lately, they've done it several times. He told what the procedure is to make a man into a woman, supposedly. And he described what it was. And, it's kind of gory, but anyway, and it's a constant source of trouble and medical problems.
Right.
And a listener emailed him and said, I'm sick of you telling that stuff. I don't want to listen to it, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, don't think about yourself all the time. Think about some of these other people who know nothing about this, and they're getting informed. And one of the things I thought of doing, I haven't done it yet, but is writing down some of these things and saying, this is what you hear, this is what happens, opposite each other. Like the whole trans thing in the restrooms at school, girls got attacked, anyway, so that's what I thought of. But this one neighbor, when I met him, I knew we were on a different belief system because the way we met was that we both took care of someone when they were dying. And so he said that he had been with his girlfriend for 19 years and they never got married. So I knew that we had a different belief system. But I would just talk to him casually, but I called in one time and said how he ended our friendship after the election, and when I hadn't even mentioned Trump winning. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to belabor the fact, I'm not going to try to be friends, really. He doesn't want to be. He was unreasonable. He has Trump derangement syndrome, clearly.
Yeah, so, let me break in, Lynn.
Anyway, that's all I was going to say.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So the Trump derangement syndrome, as I have said, that's a real thing, and people get that, and that's all. I mean, they're like a bull seeing a red cape, and anytime Trump's name is mentioned, Elon Musk said he went to a party before the election, and he just mentioned Donald Trump's name, and he said it was like the people there got injected with methamphetamine and rabies. They just were seeing red because they hate Donald Trump so much. It's not that they disagree with him, as Bill O'Reilly said concerning the ladies on The View. It's not just they disagree with Trump and disagree with his policies. They hate him. They would love to see, now they might not say this, but you can tell by their rhetoric, they would love to see Trump murdered They would love to see, and many people would love to see, and they've been calling for it. They'd love to see Elon Musk taken out and killed. And so, you know, whenever you get to that place, and that's severe. So I love what Adrian Rogers said one time about, he's talking about Saul of Tarsus. And he said, Saul of Tarsus breathing out threats and violence against the people of God and going, having their letters to arrest Christians in Antioch and bring them back to Jerusalem. And he was a blasphemer by his own admission. He was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. There may have been some Christians saying, God, this man is, he's causing so much havoc in the church. Please, Lord, take him out. Lord, take his life, wipe him out and kill him. Maybe somebody prayed that. And they, not from an evil heart, but just from, that's what they could see from their perspective. And he said, what did God do? He didn't kill him. He saved him. I'm not going to slay him. I'm going to save him. I'm going to turn this guy who's so against Christianity into the greatest Christian who ever lived, to show forth my grace and my power, that it's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, as Paul said, among whom I am chief. And so we pray for those people. We deliver them over to the Lord, whatever he deems is right to do with them. And, you know, if people don't want to be our friend because we have different, you know, worldviews, that's their business. We can still be friendly and loving toward them. We can still pray for them. I have a friend right now. He and I are poles apart on how we see the world, but he is struggling with a physical issue. He's in the hospital. I'm praying for him and praying that God would be merciful to him, that God would bring healing to him, and that God would use this for good in his life. And so I promise you, the left is, I would say 99% of the time, you can be assured that the left is not doing that with people they disagree with, because many have said, hey, if you voted for Donald Trump, we're no longer friends, which is sad, but that's the way it goes. Well, we have Obi on the line from West Virginia. Obi, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
I much appreciate the issues that you bring up. Pastor Jeff, I'm really struggling with trying to understand how anyone can be a good and godly Christian, and apparently well-informed Christian for many years, and can still vote Democratic.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just like to know, I'm sure you have this issue in your church, and there's very little doubt in my mind that you don't have it. How do you, as a pastor, address that situation from the pulpit, or do you even address it from the pulpit?
Yeah, great question, Obi. I don't understand that either. I think that some people are just so locked in to, this is how I was raised, and, you know, as the term goes, a yellow dog Democrat, I'm going to vote Democrat. I don't care who the candidate is. It could be a yellow dog. I'm still going to vote for him. They're just so locked into that anything that's Republican is bad and anything with Democrat is good, that they just can't get past that. And it's what Ronald Reagan said. He said, you know, he was a Democrat and they became a Republican. He said, I didn't leave the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party left me. I can no longer support what they support. And maybe that party started out with good intentions, but it's been hijacked. And now it's the fringe progressives that have taken it over, and all the LGBTQIA plus agenda and pro Hamas and pro-abortion, and, you know, you can't be a Democrat, at least a candidate, and be pro-life and run on a pro-life platform. It just doesn't work. So you have to jump in with both feet. I don't see how a Christian could support that. And so I don't, from the pulpit, I don't like to use the word Republican and Democrat. I'll use the words left and right, and then just share the truth and say, you know, whether you're on the left or whether you're on the right, this is what the Bible says, and we need to be seeing the world from God's perspective, and we need to, you know, vote accordingly. I did a sermon one time called Left, Right, or Righteous, and it's talking about we vote for righteousness. And between the two candidates, between the two parties, which one more closely aligns with the scripture, that's the way we are to go. So I appreciate the question. It's a great question. Mark in Mississippi, I'm sorry we ran out of time, but thank you for calling. You can always get me, Pastor Jeff, at fromhisheart.org, Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org. If you have a question or comment, love to hear from you. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.